Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. Once again, I'm Martin, joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, you booked us a good one this time. What do you got for us in store?
Well, this time I've got us a lead singer. He plays guitar. They are a thrash metal band out of Spain. They are Angelus Apatrida. Am I saying that right?
Perfectly right.
Excellent. Well, I have Guillermo Izquierdo. So, Guillermo, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. I'm pretty fine. It's like midnight here in Spain, so I'm almost going to sleep. But yeah, very happy to be here with you guys. Thanks for your time.
A musician, midnight. Come on, that's 8 a.m. for us.
But it's like I'm not working as a musician for over a year, something like this. So. Yeah, I got like a normal schedule. Yeah, I got early tomorrow in the morning. No, just kidding. I was just on the after dinner. I was actually having dinner quite late, like a good Spaniard. So everything is fine. I'm about to open a beer, maybe.
Yeah. So you had your mid afternoon nap, and now you're ready for everything. Yeah, awesome. So you guys have a new album coming out, or out February 5th, I guess, and so it's self-titled. So tell us about the album.
Well, it's our seventh album already. It's the fifth one with our label, Century Media Records, and it's already out. Actually, it's 13 days that it was released, and we're really amazed about the feedback from everybody, from media, from the fans, the old time fans and newer fans, and actually we are like 2 days celebrating because it just hit the Spanish charts. It was like number one on the Spanish official charts. So yeah, it was like it's the first time in history like a band like us can just scratch this and climb until the first position. So yeah, pretty happy with that. So, pretty good. If you don't know the album, just what are you waiting for? Just go and stream it. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right.
We had a
right.
chance to listen to the album, so I mean, I think it's awesome. It's because the energy is just incredible in that album.
Thanks. For the people who never listened before to Angelus Apatrida, they would find a very powerful and energetic album. But for the fans that already knew the band, this is something kind of new because we normally mixed. We're not that aggressive in the music. Of course, we're a thrash metal band, but we like to mix a lot of melody as well and getting the early roots of our influences from the classic heavy metal as well. But this time it was only power, only energy, only angry, and this is the result.
Is it because of the state of the world now, that's why you're angry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly,
me too.
Yeah.
That's probably why I liked it so much.
Yeah, this album was composed during the worst part of the pandemic, I guess. Yeah. Like last year, during the whole year, like just writing all the music with all the things happening all over the world. Yeah, it's all the bad feelings, all the bad emotions we felt during those months, during those weeks, and still feeling that because we're still in this shit. But yeah, of course, it was kind of something to release, like to put all that bad emotions in one thing together and just spread it all over the world and try to keep on behind good human beings.
That's it. I mean, you're still behind this. I mean, you're scheduled to tour this year with Evil Invaders is you know, the notes we got. Is that still going to happen, do you think? Or is that up in the air because of COVID? What's going on?
Yeah, it's up in the air. It's already postponed for 2022. But nobody knows what's going to happen with this tour because it's, you know, it's like a small tour. It was already postponed. And it's like, nobody knows what's going to happen with this. We're trying to save the situation here right now, and we're going to make a couple of shows here in Spain, like in big venues, to present the new album and try to gain some money because we're really living we're almost reaching the point of no return with this. So, But no idea. It's like there are no good sensations with it. There's no good feelings with this for this year. At least here in Europe, I don't know the rest of the world, but here is like nothing sure with the festivals, like major festivals. Maybe something will happen here in Spain, like open air things. But I don't believe that like major festivals, like 40,000-50,000 people attending a show is going to happen this year.
Mm-hmm. No, that seems unlikely.
Yeah. And I don't know about touring outside, like touring other countries, like touring Europe and, of course, touring abroad, like overseas. You know, it's like I think it's not going to happen this year. But, well, there's this optimistic thing, like we just keep fingers crossed that maybe things will be much better and I'm wrong and things will be like happen by summer or even for but at least by the end of summer things will be much better and we can start touring. But yeah, situation is like it's very complicated for medium bands like us. Like this is our job, this is our, you know, that's, but yeah. Our main job is touring, is like playing live and selling merchandise on the shows. And
well, that's where the bands make their money, right? I mean, you tell everybody to go stream it, but the truth is there's almost no money from the streaming, right?
It's exactly. As I told you, now the album is number one in Spain. Fucking number one. I mean, like, above Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters were number three, and Angelo Sabato has been number one, for example. But, of course, there's no money with this. There's not a single coin, not a pen. You know, it's like, there's nothing with that. It's just the promotion you got now. Major the press, the TV and the radios, we're everywhere right now, but it's like, okay, it's we're building a better future, of course, for us, and we're getting a lot of more audience, but it's not transforming to real money right now, for example. So no. Yeah,
but the, you know, when the day comes that people can come out there, you're gonna have so many that, you know, they're gonna be so anxious to see you. That's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to be so, they're going to want live music. I mean, I haven't been to a concert in a year. That's the longest I've gone without seeing a concert since I was 14. You know, it's tough. So yeah, I know they won't be waiting.
Something like this. But at the same time, you know, that kind of things is good for booking huge festivals and booking a lot of tours in the next months. But since they're not going to happen, it's like we're not like... using this this advantage of being number one, but of course we'll figure it out. We will do something with this. We just announced that we're gonna play in Madrid. We're gonna make a show in Madrid, in the capital of Spain, in a very big venue, of course with social distancing and all that shit. But it's something, and of course we can put all this music in on a show. And start working and start getting back to job, getting back to work. It's like we're just like crazy for doing this. But yeah, let's see what's gonna happen. I try to be very optimistic with that, with this, but sometimes it's like it's too much. And
but I understand.
Yeah, but I think we are still healthy and things are, I think that are getting better here in Spain. So.
Yeah, I'm sure
we'll get there. We will get there.
Yeah, and you'll undoubtedly feel better and probably a little bit more optimistic like after that show, and you see kind of how it goes, and you actually get the chance to get up on stage in front of live people, like even if it is a smaller amount. I mean, it will just, you know, I'm sure the energy will at least be good to kind of get back in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like we made like three streaming shows last year, and it was super weird, you know, like. Playing in front of a camera, like recording a video clip, but you were actually you were playing in front of all the people who were just attending the show before their screens. So yeah, it's gonna be the first show that we're gonna play with real people for almost 1 year. So yeah, what, just can't wait for that.
What is the biggest crowd you've played in front of?
Oh, maybe it was in Colombia, and there is a huge festival. I think it's the biggest festival in South America. It's called Rock al Parque. Maybe they could be like, I don't know, but 100,000 people.
Wow, that's insane.
That was crazy. That festival, you know, is like kind of Rock in Rio, that kind of festivals, you know, like they are mixing like superstars with heavy metal bands, and it's for free. It's a free festival in Bogota, in the capital of Colombia. And we were invited to play 2 years ago, and it was like insane. But it's completely insane. Yeah, I was about to say that maybe it was the largest audience we played in front of.
I guess in 20 years of doing this, you've traveled all over the world, though.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it's there's only, I think, a couple of territories in the planet that we never play. One of them is the United States, of course, North America, United States and Canada. We've never been there. And the other one is Russia. Of course, it's very difficult to go and play Russia. You know, even that you can go driving, you can try go driving. But, of course, there's very strict restrictions with the visas and working visas and all that stuff. So it's like, it's kind of and it's a huge country, not many cities into heavy metal, maybe just Moscow, St. Petersburg, and maybe one or two more. So, yeah, can't wait for doing this, just like going to Russia, but of course, start touring the North America, the United States, and Canada. It's something we just can't wait for this to happen.
Yeah, well, we're in Canada, so I mean, we're agreeing, we can't wait for you to get the chance. How cool is it that you, though, that when you go to another country and you see that they embrace your music, that is, you know, maybe a completely different culture, but they embrace your music. How cool is that?
It's so cool. It's one of the best parts of this. I mean, the first of all is when you go out from your comfortable place, like we're a big band in Spain, but once you are out of Spain, you are the complete unknown band and a new band. So we're still a young band even for Europe. And every European tour we're doing is like we're discovering new places, gaining more fans, and every time it's a very good situation for us. It's like we're super happy and very thankful for doing this and having this job. But when we go for the first time to other countries, and especially to countries like we have to travel a lot, other kind of cultures like. The first time we were in Latin America, okay, we know each other because we're like brothers, you know, like Latin America and Spain, we're like same roots, and there are a lot of Latin American people living in Spain, so we know the culture and all the things. But, for example, the first time we played in Asia, and not only going to Japan or Taiwan or these countries, but in China. The first time we played in China was like, wow, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And we were playing, of course, we played in like the super big cities like in Beijing or Shanghai or Guangzhou. But there are a lot of different cities that they never saw a heavy metal band in their lives. But not only this, but there were people that never saw like a Western guy there, like a white guy. And of course, not with long hair and beard and tattoos and all that stuff. So where people were just standing at like this and taking pictures of you, and the shows were amazing. Yes, like most of the people, I would say that 90% of people in China, they never attended a heavy metal show, and it was the first time that they were going to a heavy metal show in their lives. And you could just it was very emotional to watch the faces like this. What the fuck are these white demons doing? Yeah, was super nice, super nice. This, but it's not okay. This is going like to the antipodes of Spain or what we are used to play. But every time we go to a different country, other different place, it's like you know, we're super thankful for that, and we try to get all the best emotions and the best feelings of doing this.
Do you wind up getting nervous when you're playing like any show, but especially like those shows out in front of, you know, in front of like brand new people in China or brand new people in like some of these other countries?
Actually, I would say that I get much more nervous when I play to our normal audience. It's like because I think that you know that they are expecting, they know who you are, and they know some of them already watched you before. So I think I get more nervous playing for the same audience. And when I'm playing for newer audience, like for example in China or other countries, I think it's more it's other kind of feelings. Of course, we're always nervous. I feel always nervous. I'm doing this for almost 20 years. And every time, like 5 minutes before going on show, I'm super nervous, you know, like the stomachs and the butterflies here and like wah 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 every single show, every single time. But I think it's easier when it's a newer place. In my case, I get more nervous. For example, just like playing here in Spain, like you got the responsibility of headlining a festival, like a big festival, or your own shows. You know, you're headlining your own shows in Madrid or Barcelona. Like there are like 1 or 2,000 people waiting for you, and this moment you realize that there's 2,000 people that pay ticket for watching you. So it's like, wow, this is serious. You know, it's like, I have to do this, like, and this is the worst moment because you start to get super nervous and it's only 1 minute left and then the intro is starting to play and it's like, shit. But yeah, I think in my case it's much is worse, this situation, but I try to handle it every time.
Do you find that you're starting to see, or that you were starting to see more and more people that were kind of like there at each show that you kind of recognized more faces?
Yeah, definitely, especially here, of course, and it starts to happen in other countries in Europe, but yeah, definitely, it's like this, and I don't know why, but it's like we got a very good memories for faces and for many people, and when this happened to me, when imagine that we play with two or three bands like two or three times, and then you see them in another festival and you go, hey man, do you remember them? It's like, no. Really? Why? You know, it's like I can't remember thousands of faces of people attending our shows. It's like, and of course I remember every single band we play with. And it's like, I get surprised that many musicians don't remember all other bands, you know. But yeah, of course it's like for us it's very important to share these moments on the shows. We look to the eye, to the people, especially the people on the front row, and it's not only performing. I mean, it's in my case, it's much more than this, and I really love to feel the what they are feeling. It's like it's my it's the way I can understand that if we are doing things right, you know, because I can see it in their eyes, something like this. But of course, I'm talking about the shows that we perform in Spain, where we have like the all time fans, like people are just paying for watching you, not just playing like in another festival that most of the people don't know you. But yes, I really enjoy this at the same time, and I think it's very important to know the people who listen to your music and attend your shows. I think it's quite important. And of course, it's part of your own humanity at the same time, I would say. Like recognizing people, it's not only numbers. They are not just fans and numbers and tickets. Actually, they are human beings. So, and they are there to watch you. So I think it's important to pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the new songs then that you're most excited to get out and play live? I mean, obviously you got the Indoctrinate and, you know, and Bleed the Crown. Those are the singles that you
made
video for.
I just have to say,
for.
Bleed the Crown. Bleed the Crown is one of my favorite all-time song titles. Mm. So cool.
I agree. It's one of my favorite songs, the Founders of Patria as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we are now discussing these things. It's like how many songs and which ones we are going to bring to a live show, because it's already 7th albums. It's every time it's getting more difficult to make the set list and to get the right songs of each album. But of course we're with a new album, so we have to play a lot of these ones. I think that we didn't decide it yet, but mostly will happen that maybe the 4th singles that we already released, people are really digging them. So yeah, of course, Indoctrinate, Bleed the Crown, I think We Stand Alone. It's the song that we have to at least try alive, because you know sometimes happens that you play some songs that you think that they're gonna work a lot, but then they're not. Actually, they don't work on tour. I mean, they it's not the same like listening to them like playing them, but we will find out. So yeah, most of this, I think that these 4th singles, I think we're gonna play them, and maybe we will choose another one. Actually, we're thinking about doing kind of a contest or something like this in our social media, like asking people like, okay, we're just building the set list, and we think that these four songs they're gonna enter, but there is one, there's place for one more song, so maybe we can do like just like how it's called in English to do a poll.
A poll. Yeah, a poll. Yeah, a for poll, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing like
that's a great poll, idea.
Yeah, and we can try it for the show, and yeah. I think we should do something like that, because at the end you got like 1 hour and 30 minutes for playing in 7 albums, and you have to play a lot of other songs. And so, well, but yeah, definitely I would like to make like a set list with 5 or 6 songs with this, from this album at least.
Yeah, We Stand Alone is my favorite from the album.
Right, it's one of my favorites as well. the four singles are my favorites actually. All of us. I mean, we agree of doing this, like, but yeah, there are other songs I really like, but yeah, somehow this We Stand Alone, Indoctrinate, and Bleed the Crown, mostly they are my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
how did you guys, sorry, go ahead, Brad.
Oh, no, I was just going to say The Age of Disinformation and the really cool lyric video was, I really like that lyric video for sure, so.
So how did you guys record it? Were you guys all in the same room, or did you have to record because of the pandemic? Did you have to record in different locations, and or how did you guys do the actual recording of the album?
No, we did it like every time. I mean, we were together, and like, of course, we knew that some of us could be infected with the COVID, but we took care about this and not going with other people, and of course trying at any time wearing the mask on, and especially when we're in the same room. But this time was very easy, and normally we just compose alone at home, and we do the demos and all the, you know, like tracking all the songs. We do each of us. We prefer to work alone at home. We always did like this. Because actually we live in different cities. Only Victor and me, we live in Albacete, and David lives in Valencia, which is 200 kilometers from here, and Jose lives in Sacuellamos, which is 100 kilometers from here. So yeah, we're used to be separated and working like using the internet for working. But the day we enter in the studio, normally we don't go all together to the studio. We all got the idea, and we use a lot of internet for just... you know, have being sure that everybody knows that what is going to happen. I mean, I think it's not cool when the drummer is recording and the rest of the guys are in the studio, you know. And this time was like this. It was only me attending every day, going to the studio, but not all the day. I trust all the musicians, and I mean we all trust each other, so we're like a family. We don't need to be like this, and of course every day we were just listening to the recording sessions and just, okay, maybe you can do this better tomorrow, blah 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 blah. But no, it's like that, it's the way we always work it like this. So it was kind of easy, but of course there were times that we were together, we were doing barbecues together. We were going to the swimming pool, because in the studio there's a swimming pool. So yeah, we partied together, but at the same time, yeah, we were trying to wear the masks. And at the same time, during those weeks, we were trying not to mix with different people. Like, for example, our parents or grandparents or family, like bigger families, trying not to expose them for that, yeah. Just in case that some of us got the COVID. But at the end, everything was pretty fine. Everything was safe.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's okay. You know, I mean, it's just nowadays when we interview people, so often they say to us, oh, yes, I did the track of my home house, you know, my home studio. Many people have their home studio, and I sent it along. I did my part and listened to somebody else's part, and they're doing it all from different locations. So I think it's really good you were able to get together. What's important about making it all together? What makes it different? What makes it work?
Well, I would say that the main thing is the money, because we don't have money for paying different studios. You know, it's like this time we recorded in the studio of our friend here in our hometown, and we just like made a final price. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to record this album and we have like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 for you. So it's like a closed price. I don't know if you say this in English, but so we didn't have the opportunity for recording in other cities because we didn't have enough money for that. And we prefer to do it like this, you know, it's like trying to, I think it's important to be in the same place and from time to time feel what the other guys feel as well. So as I told you before, we're not the whole band are attending every recording session, but one or two days a week we just get together and listen to everything together, you know. And you can see it's not the same like having a conversation like this, like watching real time the expression of the face and just like having a conversation and a discussion about what we are recording. So yeah, it was quite easy and very good for us doing this way. At the same time, we knew that we were putting in risk the health of everybody, but we all said, okay, let's try not to mix with other people. So it's like just us. It's like the same. How to say in English? How to explain it?
Well, yeah, I get it.
Same, it's the same, like, group.
Yeah, we're calling it cohorts here, right? So it's
It's like the same circle of people.
Yeah.
For the next month, so it's like let's try not to go to our parents' house or whatever. It's like just the same.
Is that how long you were recorded for? Did it take a month to record the album?
Yeah, almost 2 months was. We started about the second week of September, more or less, and we finished in the last week of October.
That's actually a pretty good for the end of, you know, like being done recording in October and having it out in February. A lot of lot of bands have had way worse.
The time was almost up, actually. And thanks to Zeus that he was working his ass off. He was working super fast because from Century Media, they said, okay, we understand that we told you to deliver all the masters and everything at October the 30th, but we have a problem and we will need to have the masters like 1 week before. So it was like,
oh no.
No, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. But it was possible. And I think that we delivered everything on 23rd of October. And it was thanks to Zeus that he made like everything in record time.
Yeah, that is amazing for sure. Because, I mean, and I get for something especially that sounds so good, you would never think that it was kind of like under the gun and in a time crunch.
Yeah, we always under the game. The time always up when we're recording, and it was the time this time with this album we have more time than ever. Like, and normally we don't need more than 1 month because we're always touring, so we don't have much time for staying in the studio. So yeah, but even this time we were like, but it was this time it was not our fault. It's like that. Everything was prepared to be delivered on the 30th of October. But at the end, I'm very happy that how it happened, and the album sounds amazing. Zeus is a like super professional guy, and we're super happy with the sound. So,
yes, nice.
And the good thing is like it's a very new, like a good starting again, like getting how to say it, like starting over. Yeah, kind of, it's kind of rebirth with this, like starting. Working with Zeus with this new producing and this new way of working, it just opened our minds like wide open, you know, like a hundred of different new possibilities came again to the band after six albums. So it was like, yeah, like a new beginning. It's like, wow. It's like, I remember the last two albums, we were kind of worried about like, okay, it's every album is more tough to write new music and try not to repeat yourself and try to make something original inside your own music. And this time was like, wow. It's like, we already got new music composed. We got more songs actually. So it's like, wow. It's like when we started like 15 years ago. is a very good sensation, pretty good feeling.
Could you have imagined, you know, when you started that you would still be in this band all these years later?
No.
That means you made it, right? Did, you know, could you have, could you, you know, did you think that that was even possible? I mean,
no way. I mean, when we started, we just wanted to play to cover our favorite bands. I mean, it happened 21 years ago. We were just kids that we started to play the instruments, and we just wanted to play Judas Priest, and we just wanted to play Maiden and Metallica and Megadeth. That's all. And I think that the only goal that we had back in those days was just playing in our hometown, which is this very famous opener amphitheater, you know, like a big place for playing. And that was our only goal. It's like, oh, it would be cool to play someday there, like, because we were kids and we knew that good bands were coming to our city to play there. And it happened 1 year later. So 1 year after we made the band, we already played there. And it was like, okay, we made it. What's next? It's like, whatever. And we, yeah, we never too cared about this. We never thought about what was going to be the future. It's like, we never cared about that. Things just coming, and we're just facing things at the same time that they were coming, and just making the decisions about the future. Until the most important point in our career, I think it was when Century Media just called us and said, "We would like to sign you guys." That time was the moment that we just it happened in 2009. So it was the time that we this say, "Okay, this is serious, and so we have to make like a serious decision because we should quit our jobs and just dedicate to the music." But even after this, like signing to them was like, again, okay, whatever's gonna happen, let's do it. Gonna do another tour, let's do another tour. It's gonna record a new album, let's do a new album. It's like, and this time was the same. Okay, with the pandemic, we cannot tour anymore. What can we do? Let's do another album. Okay, and now we're fucking number one in Spain. So it's like, yeah. Yes.
So cool.
I think it's important at the same time, that kind of things, because whatever it happens to the band or whatever it happens to your life, it's something. There is always something good to get from that. You don't feel frustrated because you're not searching for something in concrete. I mean, you're not searching for a goal. Like, maybe nowadays my goal is finally go and tour North America, for example, in Russia, as I told you before. But if it never happens, I'm going to be sad.
So then how has the band evolved then over 20 years? Like, what are maybe some of the most noticeable evolutions?
Well, yeah, it's a question that everybody says. It's like, for us, it's the normal thing. Like, I can't imagine myself playing with other people, but my band members, my bandmates. The bass player is my blood brother, so we know each other since forever. Yeah, when I was born, he was already on my place in my house. So
and stuck with him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's my elder brother. So he's 6 years older than me. And the other two guys we met when we were 12 or 13 years old, and they were my first metal friends. You know, like the first guys that you met that you start to share music and talk about bands and even sharing t-shirts and stuff. We learned it together playing the guitars. David and me, we were teaching each other, like, I know this riff and I know this riff, and yeah, this is like this and this is like this. So, and we taught Victor to play drums, for example.
Wow.
He was a former bass player, Victor, but then he said, okay, I don't want to play a bass player. I don't want to be a bass player. And he left the band for some months, and then he came back. He wanted to sing. And it was like, maybe you would like to play drums. And he said, but I don't know how to play drums. And we said, okay, we can teach you. And he said, okay, it sounds cool. And so David and me, we just teach him just like a couple of rhythms. And 1 year later, we were playing together, the four of us.
Wow, that's...
So it's like, this is the way we grew up. And we always wanted the same. We always want, when we're in the same direction, you know, there was never problems with egos or other kind of things. This has always been a democratic band. Like everybody got the same importance. And it's like there's no leaders. There's nothing like this. It's all decisions are democratic, and everybody's the 25% of the band. So I think this is maybe the most important part of being together all over these 21 years. And let's hope. I hope that we can make at least 20 more, because it really these 20 years pass so fast. I just can't believe this. So yeah, okay, let's go. Let's make at least 20 more, and let's see what happens. Because we feel super young still. Of course, we're still young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We see, you know, I mean, Mick Jagger's still playing. So you can play till you're 100. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. I'm not sure if I'm gonna scream and headbang like this when I will be 70, but I would try, of course.
Can you play the guitar really fast? Well, that's okay then. That's what you need to do.
Every time I see Iron Maiden on a show, Iron Maiden is my favorite band ever, and I watched them like I don't know 25 times. Every time I saw them. I watch them. It's like, wow! It's like they are already like the age of my father, and it's like they are still running and playing like this, and Bruce Dickinson like singing like this. It's like, yes, I want to be like them.
Yeah, there are worse people that you can look up to. That's for sure.
what is it? Bruce Dickinson does the fencing to stay in shape.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. You just have to take up fencing, and you'll be able to play forever.
Yeah, of course. This is something that I have to do with my life nowadays, like try to be in shape. And but well, maybe next year, maybe in 2 years, I don't know. I drink a lot of beer every day. At least I quit smoking. It's already 4 years that I don't smoke, and I'm not going to smoke anymore. But yeah, I still got a problem with beer, so yeah.
So
I'm sure Spain has some of the best beer. So
yeah.
Yep.
So then, tell me now, because you you know, you started out so young, is that why you all play Jackson guitars?
I think yes, and actually my first guitar was a Jackson Randy Rhoads. One of my heroes when I was a kid, of course, it was Adrian Smith, and he sometimes played this Randy Rhoads Jackson. But of course, in my bedroom, I got these posters of Dave Mustaine and Andreas Kisser from Sepultura, and all the different artists that they were. I think in the 80s and the 90s, there were a lot of heavy metal bands and thrash metal bands, especially they were playing Jackson guitars, all of them. So it was like, yes, when I will be grown enough and I need to buy a Jackson. And my first guitar was a Jackson. So yeah, after the years in 2010, when we got the call from Jackson Guitars to offer in the sponsorship, it was like dream come true. It was like, fuck yes, of course I'm gonna play with you guys. It's like, I can't imagine playing with other brand of guitars, and we're still working with them. Super happy about this. Yeah, I think Jackson guitars are like the shape for heavy metal and thrash metal.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's so true. Like, what, you know, watching the videos and seeing just the fretwork on the Jacksons and the little white slash. I mean, there's no question. Like, it's so thrash, you know. It's just like, yeah, you see it, you want to bang your head, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are other very cool brands and very cool different guitars, but it's like the Jackson is like, it's true. It's like, this is true. I mean, yeah, there are all other ones, but there are other guitars, but I think like Jackson guitar, in my opinion, they are the best, and the shape is just like, yes. It's like when you see a band playing Jackson, it's like, yes, these guys go seriously.
Well, yeah, it's funny because some things are just so visual, right? And like, I can't imagine like a thrash band playing a Gibson, like a nice big Gibson Les Paul on stage or something like that. It would just be
weird. You need to do like extra gym and extra exercise with your body to play thrash metal with Gibson. Like, you know, Les Paul, it's super heavy. It's very, very heavy. But no, actually, there are bands that play, the thrash metal bands playing with Gibson and other like very heavy guitars that that's actually. But yeah, I mean, it's more it's something that I wanted since I was a kid. And even if we were not working with Jackson, I think that of course if we got a good deal with other brand, we will be with other brand. But I will still using Jackson because I love them. It's something that remembers me when I was a kid, and it's like part of me. You know, it's like it's something. It's difficult to explain, mm-hmm. but it's like from the logo, you watching the logo here in the neck and the headstock, even that kind of headstock and the sharp inlays, everything is like it reminds me when I was a kid and I was just watching the Sepultura and Megadeth videos when I was like 10 years old and just staring like this, like saying like yes. So yeah, it's kind of it's in my DNA, I would say, something like that. Like I don't understand thrash metal music or my music without the Jackson.
Yeah. It's funny because as I was reading some reviews for this new album, everybody that I was reading was always trying to kind of pick out your influences from the songs. And there were even moments where I was able to do it, where it's just like, oh, that's got some Iron Maiden, that's got a little bit of Megadeth, that's got a little bit of this. And so, you know, Pantera, of course, showed up. And it's just, and so it's interesting. Like, do you kind of note that when you're playing it, or is that just kind of the way that it happens?
It's the way it happens. I mean, of course, we understand that we are influenced by a lot of bands. And actually, Angelus Apatrida is the band that we would love to watch and we would love to hear. So this is why we're doing this. We don't pretend to be the most original band. And of course, I mean, playing thrash metal nowadays and pretending to be original is like, I think it's going to happen. So yeah, but this is why thrash metal is like this. It's like passionate music. It's not trending. It's not like fashion. So if you pretend to be this, the most probably thing is like you're gonna fail. But yeah, this is one thing that I noticed, that we are the band that people get more influences in. Part this part is like Testament, this part is like Exodus, and I don't see this happening with other bands. Of course, the other bands said, well, and I can't remember the last album from Havoc, it happened a lot. There are people just saying that this riff is from Metallica, this riff is from Megadeth, but it's like, what the fuck? It's like, if this is a good thing, it's very good, but if you're pretending to do this like a bad thing, I'm not gonna listen to you, because it's like, what is wrong with this? I'm very proud of that. Of course, we're not searching for this, but it's normal that it happened, because we listen since, I mean, I'm listening heavy metal music for already 29 years, and it's normal. Riffs and melodies and some parts can remember you. Sometimes it happened that we ask each other, I got this song, I got this riff, please guys, listen to this and please tell me if there is something that could be like a rip-off, because this part reminds me a lot to Blind Guardian, or this part reminds me a lot to Sepultura, whatever. It's like, no, but we do this with the band members, we do this with our manager, and we do this with Century Media as well. So it's like, when we send a demo, we say, okay, we got this, please, if you feel that something could be like a rip-off, just tell me, because it's not the intention. It's mm-hmm. like, if it happened, that some riff could be like, but no, of course. So yeah, it's part of our music as well. It's just like, it's normal that it will happen. Of course, it's, how many years is thrash metal on? 40 years?
Yeah, close, I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And especially when you think about, well, when you think about the quality of, I mean, you, like, I think of the big four right off the bat. I mean, you talk about Metallica and Megadeth and Anthrax and Exodus and stuff like that, and those Bay Area bands. But then as it goes out, I mean, it's just incredible music, right?
Yeah, it's fast music, and it's more important than this. This is why we love to play this music. We just stick to the punk side of thrash metal, you know, we stick to the hardcore and crossover part of this music. It's like, we don't give a fuck about this. It's like, we don't give a fuck. If it's like, we love this. It's like, I don't believe that in other, more, how to say, like more emotional, musical styles, like for example, punk or hardcore, they would give a fuck if they sound exactly the same like the New York hardcore scene in the 80s. No, it's like they don't give a fuck about us. It's like they just enjoy the music, and it's like, this is, I love this, and we try to do this with our music. So of course we, and I think that we are doing fine with this. Sometimes there are people, there are, in my opinion, there are bands that they get loose and they lose the way they should go because they try to, as I told you before, they try to do something new and original inside, and it's like, okay guys, first of all, you know that you're playing thrash metal, so it's like, it's more than this. It's if you try to find this new and original way, you will be like lost. Maybe you should try to play another kind of music. And sometimes I put the example of Tribune, for example. It's, yeah. It's a band that I love since the very beginning. I really like them, and sometimes I consider them kind of a new wave of thrash metal. You know, so there are a lot of parts like remembering some of the best Big Four parts, but they were able to create something new about this, and of course not escaping from the metalcore themes and stuff, and doing very, very interesting things in my opinion. So unless you are able to do something like Tribune, just stick to fucking thrash metal and just enjoy headbang and drink beer, and that's all, man.
I don't think I've ever heard a band in my life that I didn't think, oh, I can't hear their influences. You know, every band you can hear, no matter how far you go back, you can hear the influences.
Now, this is the good thing. I mean, the other day I was listening for the first time to this band, Greta Van Fleet, I think it's called like this. Yeah. It's like a mix of all the 70s and 80s bands that I like. And it was pretty nice. And it was like, okay, yes, I feel a lot of Led Zeppelin here, and I feel a lot of Deep Purple here, and I like even Janis Joplin something. It's like, and it was like, this is so cool. I don't think that this is a bad thing. Yeah.
Well, I think that this is what brings fans closer to a band. It's like you know, I can say, oh, I like Megadeth, I like Pantera, I like Iron Maiden, I like all these bands. So it's just like when you hear somebody like you, and it's just like, yes, I like this. This is where I'm supposed to be, right?
Yeah. I agree. But this, of course, is the only my opinion. But this is why we started this band. I mean, we wanted to put all our influence together and just play the music, because thrash metal is not our favorite music style. I mean, when I was a teenager, I was incredibly like into thrash metal. It was my favorite. But nowadays, of course not. I listen to hundreds of different kind of music. And when I'm at home, normally I don't listen to thrash metal. I mean, because I play thrash metal, so I prefer not to listen to. Of course, I listen to the classics, and I try to listen to new bands. But it's not the music that I listen to the most. But it's what I love to play. I mean, I love to play fast riffs, and I love to play like classic riffs like this, and then this riff for headbanging, and then changing this, you know, like mixing everything that I wanted to. Like, if you got the opportunity of cutting the best parts of your favorite songs, and then cutting all of them and then pasting them together, you know, but this is the way we compose. Where we don't do like this. We're not searching for this. It really comes like naturally when I'm composing a new song. Or working on a new riff, this is the way I imagine. So when I got the first riff, the riff coming before and the riff coming after, I tried them to make it better than the other ones. So it was just like an example of cutting and pasting, like making your favorite song. This is the way we try to compose.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, Guillermo, I know it's almost 1 a.m. for you, so why don't we give you the chance to tell all the fans where they can find you guys?
Well, I would love to say that we're going to tour over there in the near future, but it's not going to happen. So, yeah, you can find us on Instagram. Of course, you can find us on Facebook and our social media stuff. We're always, every day, just putting the stuff and sharing a lot of information about the band. So yeah, until we can meet each other in person and go and start touring in North America for the first time, just we can stay in touch and our social. And of course, I'm not sure that the album is released physically in every city of North America, but of course you got the streaming, you got Spotify, Tidal, these are all these platforms. So yeah, just give it a listen and follow us if you want. We'll be very happy.
Well, I love the new album. It's great, and more to the point, I want to get the vinyl just so that I can have the cover in as big a format as possible, because that cover is amazing.
It's a great
Yeah,
cover.
it is. And actually, in the pre-sales in Spain, we included like super big poster like this with the
Oh,
cover.
wow.
Yeah, I got it there, like a big poster with the cover. It's amazing. I hope hopefully the I mean in the future they will be able to buy it physically there in Canada or the United States. I know that there were like some cities and some states in the US that they had actually the physical vinyls and CDs, but I'm not sure if it was something like a proper release of the album there or some kind of import. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Well, I urge everybody to go out and give it a listen, because it rocks. It rocks hard, and so much energy. So Guillermo Escuero, Angela Sepatrida, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, and we wish you nothing best in the future. Nothing but the
thank
best.
you so much. Go drink a couple beers.
That's right.
No, I'm gonna do this. Yes, because I think my girlfriend will be sleeping already, but I'm gonna open a beer, of course. And guys, thanks so much for your time. It was a very funny and very interesting interview. Thank you.
Well,
Thank you
thank
a lot.
you. Thanks a lot. All the best. All right.
All the
Talk to you
best.
soon. Bye now.
Stay safe, guys. Have a good day.
You too.